Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
1 Timothy chapter 6, picking up at verse 15, and we'll read through verse 19. We read these words. It says, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only Pontifex, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in the uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up for in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you this morning. Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, for the blessings of being here together. Lord, I pray that you would just continue, Lord Father, to teach us your word, Lord Father, as you instruct our hearts, Lord, that we may be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, I thank you and I praise you so much, Lord, for who you are and how wonderful to us you are, Lord. Lord, you are a God that it goes beyond our imaginations, Lord. I think about the song we just sang, Lord, to think that you sent your Son, yourself, incarnate in the flesh to die for us. But humbling and yet joyful thought. Lord, I pray now, Lord, in particular, that you would just speak, Lord, Father. Lord, you teach us your word, Lord. Remove your servant, allow your spirit to teach. We may be conformed to the image of our precious Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, whose name we now pray. Amen. So if you have ever had the opportunity or have ever had to clean out someone's home who has passed away, I've actually had to do this a couple times in recent history, you'll fully understand the idea of laying up treasures and what that's all about and where the treasures really lie. Most of you know that we had to clean out my parents' home recently and after they passed, and it was quite the chore. Not that I'm complaining about it, but there was a harsh reality as we went through their possessions, and it was one that the Lord just kept bringing to my mind as we were going through it and we were doing these things. It was not only how much they had accumulated through their years of marriage, but also even more telling was the fact that every one of their possessions was still there. Everything they had purchased, everything they'd put so much value and stock in and so on and so forth after they were gone remained. And I say that was so harsh and telling to me and so revealing to me because the truth of the matter was that going through that, I realized, Lord, what am I really putting my value in? Where are my treasures, so to speak, laid up? What can I do without? Lord, I mean, he's blessed us. And don't get me wrong, I'm not complaining. I mean, most of us in this room right now, there's a better than not chance that you had a good meal last night. Perhaps you even woke up early enough to get one this morning. And what a blessing. And we're all blessed to have so. Most of us will probably on Thursday have a meal. I mean, if you don't have one, come down here. But you know, we'll all have a meal that we'll share together. We're all so blessed. But then I started to look at my house and all the things that I have in my home. And I love my home. I absolutely do. Sean and I were humbled by the thought that, as a matter of fact, it was this weekend that it hit us that at our age, there are many people in America who will never have a home. And yet we've had our own home now for many years. And how blessed we are to be able to do so. In particular, this morning, and the text I want to look at this morning is going to speak directly to us. And in particular, I want us to look at it both in light of not only how wealthy and rich we are, but I also want to look at how blessed we are and how much we have to give thanks for. I mean, we're getting ready to celebrate Thanksgiving, and perhaps you're one of those families or those people who, and I admire people who do this. I wish my family would do this more often. We're not very good at these things. But, you know, one of those people who go around and share everything you're thankful for. And you go around and everybody says what they're thankful for, and I think that's awesome. Maybe we should do that right now. All right, Miss Maria, I'm kidding. All right, but I hope that you actually oftentimes stop and take stock in what you've gotten, how the Lord has taken care of you, and how much He's blessed you. And we're going to talk about this morning. I want to spend our time looking at this challenge to us, if you would, about our riches and what really is rich, and what do you really take the most value in. with my parents passing, I remember one of the things my parents said to me at one point was, well, get to know, I had an aunt, she was kind of a, I'm trying to think of a polite word, because it's going to sound mean no matter what I say. She was a little bit of a hermit. You guys know what I mean by that? She kind of just stuck to herself, kept to herself. And I remember my dad, when he was alive, said to me, my mom said to me, you should get to know her really well. Become her friend. Come close to her, because she's got nobody to leave all her stuff to. And I remember I looked at him and I said, I'm offended by that statement. First of all, to think that that's what I really care about. But second of all, I said, I have relations with the people because I want to have that relationship with them, not because of what they can bring to me or give to me. So, just jumping now in our text, let's just pick up verse 17. Just read this again one time with me, if you would. Chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, verse 17 through 19. It says, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, and that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. I'm reminded of a house, and I know I have a lot of illustrations to begin this morning. I promise we're going to get in the Word here in a second, okay? But I'm reminded of this house, and maybe many of you have driven by this house before. I'm not sure or not. But if you go south here, if you go south of here, towards Soda Springs, you go to Fish Creek Pass, and you drop down into the valley there, and it's really long and open and flat. My whole life, I've been driving down that way. I mean, going to the Blackfoot Reservoir, to Soda Springs, to go hunting, or even over to Chesterfield area sometimes. But you go down that way, you go across into the Soda Springs area, and as you're going across that flat, my whole life, I've been watching this house. There was this house just right off of the highway right there, about midway in the big flat out there, in the big valley, about midway as you're going south, southeast, but off to your left-hand side. And I remember as a kid, I used to look at the house and think, oh, that's a cool house, man, out here in the middle of nowhere. It looks so beautiful, and it's so just majestic looking sitting out here. And this was as a child, I thought those things. And then as time has gone by, I've watched that house. Nobody was living in it. It was just an old farmhouse that nobody really cared about or anything anymore. And then people, it just started to deteriorate. And to the point that now that Sean and I have been married, we drive down that way quite often. And over the years, even in our marriage, I've watched that house go from being a standing building to nothing but a foundation. And I remember as I driving by there this last time, it was not too long ago, it was actually this summer, we were driving down on the Bear Lake, and as we were driving by there, I remember looking off and seeing nothing but the foundation, and this one thought hit me. I thought, here those people came and sacrificed so much to get this possession, which now is nothing but a foundation. But there was another thought that hit me at the same time. All it would have taken to make that possession of great value was for somebody to take care of it. Was for somebody to take care of it. Someone would have lived in there or just taken care of, maintained it, whatever the case may be. The house would be still standing today. And it would have been a beautiful work. And this is what I want to talk to us about this morning. When we talk about our riches and the values and where we lay up our treasures, and I want to look at this from two points. One, where is your real value at? But two, remember that if you don't take care of it, the value loses it, doesn't it? If you don't continue to maintain it, it loses its value. I'm a little bit of an addict when it comes to different TV shows. And I don't know if you guys ever watched The Pawn Stars by chance on, I don't know what channel it is. I just know. I just have it recorded, DVR, modern technology, right? Okay? But The Pawn Stars. And it amazes me how many people will go in there with something and they'll be told, had you taken care of this, had it been in good condition, it would have been worth oodles of money. But as it is now, it's only worth this amount. Well, I think to a certain extent, when it comes to our walk with Christ and our life with Christ, it's kind of the same way. See, we all start off with the greatest value of all. We all start off with the greatest thing we could possibly ever possess, and that is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. A free gift that he gave to us, which, by the way, was so valuable that he gave his life for it. He died for it. I can't honestly think of anything in my home, possession-wise, people-wise, that's a whole other story, but in my home, possession-wise, that I'm willing to die for. And I have some pretty nice things. I'm not going to lie. The Lord has spoiled me. But I can't think of anything in my home or in my life, aside from people, that I would be willing to die for. Well, this is how great the value this is, this gift that he gave you, this salvation that he gave you. He died for it. And not only just some random guy. I mean, we just got done celebrating Veterans Day, and I praise God for our veterans and the many who have given their life in defense of this country and for the protection of our freedoms. I thank God for them. But honestly, they gave it for a nation. He gave it for everyone. Everyone. No matter what nation belonged to, no matter what race, creed, they died for everyone. All that would come, all that will come, he died for. And not only just a he, but the God of all creation came in the flesh and died. And so now the greatest thing you have of value, the greatest value you have, whether you recognize it or not, is the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the greatest thing you possess. If you don't possess that this morning, let's solve that problem. All right? It's very simple. Contrary to popular belief, you don't have to give a certain amount of money to the church. We'll take it, but you don't have to. I'm joking, okay? You don't have to give a certain amount of money to the church. You don't have to go out and help so many people across the street. You don't have to go out. No. Here's what you do. You ready? Real tough. You say, right where you're sitting, talking between you and the Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for your gift of my salvation. I accept that free gift. I believe that you died and were buried and rose again for me. And now that possession is yours. So, we have that great possession. But just like any great possession, it can kind of lose a little bit of its luster if we don't take care of it, can't it? It can lose some of its shine, if I can put it that way. It doesn't mean we're not going to go to heaven. It doesn't mean we don't get to enter into the kingdom of God. But you're not taking the full advantage of what it really is. It'd be like building a house and living in the shed outside. You've got this great possession, and what are you going to do with it? How are you going to handle it now? That's what I want to talk mainly about this morning. So we see here in this verse 17 that God gave us all things to enjoy. So I was thinking, what is it, the Lord, that I find the most joy in my lifetime in? And I pray, God, for you, it's the same as me. It is not in the things of this world. It is not in what it is. It is in the salvation and knowing that God, the Lord of all riches, is going to take care of me. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And we're going to see the Lord's riches in here and what he considers to be rich and beautiful. And if you read through this too quickly, you'll miss it because you'll get one point, but you'll miss kind of the second point that's there. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34, we read these words. It says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life. This is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you, by the way. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought of your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body. What ye shall put on, inasmuch as life is more than meat, and the body than raiment. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking a thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we clothe? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of, that you have need of all things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Excuse me. So in we reread this, we get the idea, okay, yes, the Lord's going to take care of us. The Lord's going to provide for us. And those are blessings, and I'm not even taking away from those things. I'm not even saying the Lord won't do those things. I'm not even saying you can't pray for those things. But I want you to see what the Lord really considers of value. Is it the food? Is it the raiment? Well, yeah, to a certain extent it is. But only when it's done for him and by him. You notice there he uses the lilies of the valley as an example, doesn't he? And what does he say about the lilies of the valley? He says, hey, I'm telling you the truth. Solomon, in all of his array. Now think about Solomon, the wisest and richest man to ever live. And everything Solomon had. Now, I mean, we think about the rich people in our lives and everything they have, you know. My in-laws used to install cabinetry up in Jackson Hole for some pretty ritzy houses up there. And you know, some of the extravagance that they would go to, some of these people, just blows my mind. I mean, I praise God for them. People want to think, I'll complain, well, I can't stand it. Those rich people waste their money that way. Well, I'm glad at least they're employing somebody who's installing cabinetry, right? I mean, if they want to put gold handles on their doors, so be it. It gives me something to steal. No, I'm kidding you, okay? No, but what I'm saying is this. I mean, so you think about Solomon, and you can imagine what Solomon must have dressed like, right? I mean, talk about to the nines, right? I mean, he probably just looked awesome. I mean, you know, he had all the bling, you know, he had everything. Solomon was totally arrayed, looked beautiful. I imagine the point that people were like, whoo, when he walked by. But God says here, yeah, Solomon's pretty cool, but did you see my lilies? Did you see those flowers out there in the field? You know why they're so much more beautiful than Solomon? Because I took care of them. See, all those things that Solomon did, that was the work of Solomon. I mean, God provided for Solomon, absolutely, but Solomon's the one who said, well, I got to look beautiful. He's saying, yeah, but look at what I did. And my point is this, brothers and sisters, is this, is you are of great value because of what he does for you and with you. You're beautiful not because of the things we wear, the clothes we have, or whatever the case may be. You're beautiful because he saw you and he designed you and he made you and he bought you. Isn't that a weird thought? Not only did he make us, then he lost us, and then he bought us. And so this is how much he thinks of you. And he thinks, oh man, you're so awesome. And think about that. The next time you look in the mirror, we don't need self-esteem. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to get in trouble right now. And I'll probably have counselors calling me this week. What are you doing telling people they don't need self-esteem? All right? You don't need self-esteem. You need God-esteem. And what I mean by that is you need to recognize how much God thinks of you. And then you're not going to worry about what you think of yourself. Because you're going to recognize how much God thinks of you. You're not going to worry about the guy on Facebook. Does he think I'm cute? Well, God does. I mean, I'm being serious, guys. The things we put our stock and our value in, I wish people would just affirm how awesome I am. God affirmed how awesome you were, and he did it on a cross in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. He says, you're amazing. The psalmist says it this way, in Psalm 35, 9 through 10, he says, and my soul shall be joyful in the Lord, and shall rejoice in his salvation. All my bones shall say, Lord, who is like unto thee, who delivers the poor from him that is too strong for him, yea, the poor and the needy from him that spoileth him. Look at the psalmist says, he says, listen, here's where my real joy lies. My real joy lies in the salvation of God, knowing that how much he loved me, how much he cares about me, and that he wants me. That's where my real joy is found. That's my real thanks is to be given. It's not in all these things of the world. 1 Peter, actually go ahead and flip over there. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's continue to talk about this joy of our salvation, this thanksgiving we should be giving for our salvation, if I can put it to you that way. We should be giving the greatest thanks for our salvation. I hope that is the greatest thanks you give to the Lord. I mean, all the possessions, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, but he thinks you're even better. 1 Peter chapter 5, or 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye gladly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, are in heaviness, though through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found under praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, listen to this, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though ye now see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice, the joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. See, here's one of the difficulties I'm having this morning. It says right here that I cannot, it's unspeakable to talk about the joy of what salvation really is. Trying to explain salvation to somebody who doesn't have it is really hard to do, isn't it? I mean, it really is. We can share the gospel. We can tell them how to get it, but until you have it, you have no idea what it really feels like. I was the perfect parent until I had a child. I knew everything that you guys were doing wrong, and then I had my own child. The point is, until you have it, you don't know what it's really like, do you? You don't know. But you have salvation. And that should bring such great joy to you, because it says there's unspeakable, that full glory of what God has designed. And you want to know what his glory is, and I'm not going to take the time to take you through this today, but if I have to take you through what God considers his glory, guess what it is? You. Look in the mirror. You're the glory of God. He is what you're what he came to get and to buy and to purchase and wants fellowship with for all of eternity. You. And all your warts, your wrinkles, your dirty clothes, your sniffling noses, your rough-sounding voice, whatever the case may be, he wants you. That's what his glory is. And this is what he desires. And that, brothers and sisters, should bring us to a heart that says, thank you, Lord, for my salvation. Because that's all I actually need. That's all I really want. The food, great. I like turkey just as much as the next guy. Especially the skin. I'm a little bit of an addict, I won't lie. You know, I tear the skin off before people get there. I tell them I'm trying to help their weight loss. All right? But you know, I mean, but I'm thankful for those things. I'm thankful for minced meat pie. Yes, if you've never had it, you have no idea what you're missing out on. I hear hisses coming from the crowd. Wow. Some of you eat cheesecake. Ugh! All right? Okay? But the point of the matter is this, is all those things are blessings, and they're wonderful, and I enjoy them. But really what I find my greatest joy in is knowing that no matter what happens, my God loved me, died for me, and I get to go to heaven. That's what I'm thankful for. That's what I find my greatest joy in. And this is why it's so hard to explain to people, because to try to explain salvation, what is it like to be saved? Well, it's like this. Nope, that's not good enough. No, it's like this. No, see, we can't. Because it's hard to explain to them what it is to know that no matter what, I'm accepted. No matter what I do. Because that's one of the hard things to find in this life, isn't it? People who are going to accept you, warts and all. Oh, you didn't behave the right way. You didn't act the right way. You didn't dress the right way. You didn't talk the right way. You don't look the right way. And you kind of smell. See, we have problems like this with each other. But God looks at us and he goes, there she is, my beloved bride. That's who I want. That's what I love. And all that he did so that we could have joy in our salvation. See, true joy is only in our salvation. If you would, that what the Lord has done for us, not that we do for ourselves. And that's the most mind-boggling part for me. Because I can sit here and I can, and I should. I've actually got convicted over the last couple weeks. I'm done joking about how much I don't exercise. We all know how much I don't exercise. It's evident. All right? I'm done joking about that. All right? Well, that was the last one. Okay? I'm done. I really am, because I'm not saying I shouldn't exercise. I'm really bad, I know. But my true joy is not found in what I do for myself, what I do to myself, or how buff I may get, or how good looking I am. I already know how good looking I am. All right, I have mirrors, guys. There's one right out the door. If you want to see, I'll let you stand next to me. All right. But my true joy, my true heart is not in what I look like here, or what I have here. It's in what I've gotten that was given to me, not what I've learned to possess. It's the salvation of God Almighty. He bought me, and he loves me. All right, turn back in our text now. So if you got something to give thanks for, give thanks for your salvation. If you don't have salvation, and I don't know how to say this, again, you will never know what you're missing out on. I wish I could tell you what it is to know that you have the God of all creation on your side all the time. What that feels like. It actually brings me to a moment. I'm going to share this. I'm going to share this because of something that happened this morning. But so I didn't realize how much I missed my dad until, you know, it's a little bit over a year ago now. I lost my dad. I didn't realize how much I missed my dad until the other day. I was sitting at the breakfast table with my son and my wife. And you know what I missed the most about my dad? It's not his jokes. Actually, I don't miss those at all. It's not just being able to talk to him. What I miss about my dad, in the last 6 months of his life while he was living with us, every night I'd go in, I'd pray with him, and I'd talk to him. And he would always tell me how proud he was of me. That's what I miss. But then I realize, I've got the God of all creation looking at me saying, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Brian. Yeah, you may not make everybody happy. That's okay. I'm proud of you. So, I had to turn back. It says there in our text, it says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. So if we're going to be high-minded, let us be high-minded about what the Lord has done, not what we do or who we are or what we have. Let's be high-minded in the fact that Jesus Christ thought enough of you to die for you. Now on, verse 18, that they do good works and they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. So do good works. Now, I don't want to go on this works trip under bondage this morning, but like I was talking about and how I opened up this morning, guys, so many of us have this amazing foundation of our salvation, right? We have this amazing, unpenetrable, not ever going to fail foundation of our salvation. And now we get to build upon it, right? That's our privilege. That's our honor. We get to build upon it. Not because we're trying to prove how awesome we are or how much God got a good deal when he got us. Right? But it's because of the joy of our salvation we get to build upon that. And we get to lay now, if you would, there's no other foundation to lay but the salvation, but now we get to build upon that foundation. We get to do something with it. And listen to what the Lord challenges us in Luke chapter 6, I'm going to read it to you just in the interest of time, but Luke chapter 6, verses 46 through 49, he says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He's like a man which built his house and digged deep and laid a foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. And it could not shake it, for it was founded upon the rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man which had foundations built upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. So notice, the beginning is the foundation, our salvation. But then notice what else he says there. You call me Lord, but you do not the things I say. Now, I don't want to show a hand to how many of you would have to stand up guilty being charged of that this morning. You call him Lord. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, but you do not the things he says. This is the preface. Before I go any further in this, I must share this verse with us all. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20 says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Many of us start out building on an amazing foundation. And then we quit building this temple, or some of us even rush out real quick. We build a good temple to begin with, a little mound. We go out and do some good things for the Lord. Like, Lord, look what you did for me. And so we go out and we tell everybody about the Lord. And we want to build upon those things and do the things the Lord has called us to do. But then time goes by, and other things start to creep in. We forget that he came to give us a life and life more abundant, and that even means now. Well, some of us, as the temple goes by, we'll start by glorifying God. But then as we go on, time goes by. And just like that home on Highway 30, because no one is caring for that temple anymore, it begins to crumble. The foundation is there, but where is the building?
See, many of us will sit there and act like, well, I got my salvation. That's all I need. You're missing out on the life more abundant part. Do you realize that? You're going to have life abundant quantity-wise. You're going to live forever if you trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Nobody gets to take that from you. Okay, that's between you and God. You don't have to do anything for it but receive it. All right? That's yours. But you're missing out on the abundant life in quality. See, that's what that word abundant, when he says he came to give life more abundant, it means quantity and quality. You're missing out on the quality part. Why? Because do you know how freeing it is to no longer have to worry about whether or not, you know, if you're doing the right thing in the eyes of the Lord, whether or not everybody likes it? It's a very freeing quality. If I'm doing right by my Savior, my God, in whom my joy, my ultimate joy is really found, I'm doing what he wants me to do and he's designed me to do, I'm not being rude, but honestly, what does it matter what everybody else thinks of me? Do I need their opinions? No, what's happening when I start to take their opinions as some sort of value is I'm starting to let them esteem how good I am. Them to tell me how good I am. You know how valuable you are? You're just so beautiful. You're just so perfect. You're so... No, I don't need those things. The only esteem I need is the God esteem. I need to know I'm doing right in his eyes so that he can esteem me. Does that make sense? And so we start with this beautiful foundation, our salvation. Some of us go out and we start building on it and then we ignore it for a while. Life comes up. Things get busy. Guys, life is busy. I know life is busy. I get that. Life is tough. This world is tough. I actually had a great conversation with a young man via email the other day. Excuse me. And he asked me, he goes, and this was a great question. He said, And he said to me, he said, so I get it. God wants us to go out and share his word. But how do we go out and share the gospel and be the word of God? How do we do that when we can't stand the people we're around? This world is wicked. He's like, I just can't stand the world around me. And it's just my people that I'm with. And I'm not going to lie, he's in the military. And he's like, you know, I just can't stand the people in the military. I mean, their lifestyle is horrible. They're just wicked. They think of wickedness all the time. How am I supposed to go out and hang out with them and be a light to them? How am I supposed to go out there and not fall into those things? And I said, well, here's the deal. See, we're supposed to be in the world, but not of the world. You know what the difference in that means? It means we're stuck here, guys. This world is not our home, but we're stuck here. We're aliens, right? Okay? This world is not our home, but we're stuck here. So what are we going to do about that? Well, we're going to live like we're not from here. You know how easy it is to get directions when you're on vacation if you look like you're lost? I mean, all the locals want to help you out, right? At least most do. I mean, if you're in New York, they just ignore you. Okay? Because honestly, if you can't make it in New York, you can't make it anywhere. Whatever. Only thing I want to make in New York is my way out. Anyway, but that's a whole other story. All right? Okay? But, you know, honestly, the truth of the matter is this. It's just like this. We are not of this world. So we're going to look like we're lost and we're foreign here, aren't we? But guess what we're trying to do? Get one of them to come up and ask us, where are you from? Oh, let me tell you about where I'm from. I'm from a land there are no tears. I'm from a land that lasts forever. I'm from a land that is joy unspeakable. The streets are paved with gold and the gates are made of pearls. That's where I'm from. Where are you from? Blackfoot. I mean, I'm not joking, okay? I'm not the man with Blackfoot, okay? But the truth of the matter is this is why we got to look that way. We're in this world. We're not of this world. We got to look like we're foreigners in this land. And then how do we go about doing that? Well, here's the deal. So many of us take it upon ourselves to think that we have to be out there standing on the corner with our Bibles and thumping on people. That's not true. Now, if God calls you to do that, great, go do it. Okay? But you want to know how those people are going to come up and ask you if you're lost when you start looking different, right? You see what I'm saying? When we start looking like we've been saved, we start looking like we're citizens of heaven, we start looking like we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to start going, where are you from? I don't have to stand out there and go, oh, and just, you know, yell at people through this. When they come up to me and go, why are you so happy? What do you mean? I remember actually I had one of the funeral directors ask me that. You just lost a lot of people in the last 6 months. Yes, I have. And he's like, how are you so happy? I'm like, because this is not where I belong. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ, my salvation. This is not my home. And they're there waiting for me. And I'm waiting to see them again. I'm excited about that. But while I'm here, I could walk around like, this is not my home, I'm lost. Like a little kid in Walmart. Mom! Or I could actually just let them see who my parent is by the way I live. James challenges it this way to us, and I think some of you studied this on Wednesday night together. James chapter 2. Actually, go ahead and turn there. James chapter 2. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, we read these words. I'm going to give you a second to get there while I take a drink, if you don't mind. We're trying to build upon this beautiful foundation, the joy of our salvation, our thanks in our salvation, and now in our thanks in response, we're going to do something. And here we go. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 26, we read these words. It says, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and hath not works? Can faith save him? By the way, I want to pause there for 1 second. One of the mistakes we make, and we allow a lot of false religions to point out to us, is they say, see, right here, he says, what does it profit? Notice he says, though a man may say. See, this is a question, isn't it? This isn't an answer, this is a question. What if a man says to you, you say you have faith and have not works, can faith save him? Yes, faith can save you. But if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which they are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. See, I'm going to pause here for 1 second. You have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what you're supposed to have? Works. Good works, by the way. Works of righteousness. Thou believest that that there is one God, thou dost well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac upon his altar? By the way, was he? No. He was justified by faith. We read that in Hebrews. But his faith brought works, didn't it? It brought about works. He believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. You see then how by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also not Rahab the harlot, justified by works when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. We've talked about Rahab before. When did Rahab start believing in God? Before the spies even showed up. She had a fear of God. It says, since we heard about the Lord parting the sea, this is what she says, since we've heard about the Lord parting the sea and what they did in Og, and we've been afraid of your God. She had a faith in that God. She had a fear of that God. Now she knew who that God was. Knowing who that God was brought her into that salvation. It wasn't because she let the spies out the window that she got saved. It was because she believed. But that belief led her to do something. So, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Now, here's the point. I want to make sure I drive this point home for you guys. The salvation is a foundation. Nobody can take that away. All right? You've trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. It's there. Nobody gets to take it from you. Don't let anybody take it from you. Don't let them convince you by saying things like, well, I don't think you're saved because. It's between you and God. Only you know whether or not you've trusted in Jesus Christ. I don't know that. You can tell me, and that's all I can take. See, you don't know, and like I've told you guys 1,000 times before, there's only one person in this room I know is going to heaven for sure. Me. I hope you're going too. I know what I did with the Lord Jesus Christ. I know where my faith is established. I don't know your heart. I am not God. I can't read your heart. Now, I might be able to see some of your heart. And then based off of seeing some of your heart, I might be able to say, you know, I actually think, yeah, you probably do. But I can't guarantee you that. Only you can guarantee you that. Now, and God guarantees that, obviously. He's the one who holds our salvation. But so we have that foundation, but now we're supposed to do something about that foundation. Put some works upon it. Build upon that temple. Do something with it. Why? So that by some chance, God willing, somebody may see that and get saved. How many of you, honestly, and I don't want to show a hand, but just think about this question. How many of you would say that if somebody was to examine your life, they would come to salvation in Jesus Christ by what you do? How many of them would see how you behave and what you look at when you're alone on the internet or whatever the case may be? How many of them would say, that is a believer in Jesus Christ? How many of you, by the way you conduct yourself, I'm going to pick on something, a pet issue of mine. Pet peeve? That's the right word. Right? I have a pet peeve. I discovered it. Actually, I've discovered it a long time ago. It just blew up in my face yesterday. I cannot stand people who park in handicapped spots without a handicapped sticker. It makes me so mad. Now, in my younger days, when I was a little more, shall we say, rude, I used to purposely wait for those people to come out of the store, and then I'd walk by them. And I would say, oh, I wish I could have parked there. Now, I don't have a handicap sticker, guys. Okay? I don't need one. The Lord has given me legs. They may not work as good as everybody else's, quote unquote, but they get me where I need to go. But I see people and they pull up and they, why? Well, I'm in a hurry. I'm just running in real quick. I remember one time there was two young men who used to come to a Bible study at my house. They didn't fellowship with me at the church we were at, but they came to a Bible study at my house. Loved these two young men. They were cool young men, right? And one of them drove like an 80s Camaro, right? And it looked like an 80s Camaro, you know, with all the cool Bondo and everything on it. It was pretty cool. And I remember one time I was at Winco, and I drove by, I drove up, I dropped off Chandra at the door. See, that's how I get away from not having to park. Honey, you go in. Anyway, I'm just kidding. Okay, but I dropped Chandra off the door, and I went around, and then I saw these two pull up. Boom! First handicapped spot closest to the door at Winco. I pulled up behind them. Hey, guys. Hey. I'm like, what's the handicap? And they're like, what? What's your handicap? You took a handicapped spot. I'm assuming you must have one. Now, I had a pretty good relationship with them, so I don't be a little brutal, right? I said, I've seen you guys. I don't see any physical handicaps, so I can only assume it must be mental. And I remember they both just got the shame face. I said, do me a favor. While you're parked there, don't tell anybody you love Jesus Christ. Because you are not displaying a love for the people who need that. Some of you are thinking, dang, I'm never parking there again, am I? Anyway, point being, would I be able to examine your life and see Jesus Christ? You have the foundation, but the amazing thing about a foundation is you never see a foundation, do you? Unless you go in the basement for the big enough foundation. When you're just driving around out here in the building, so you guys are sitting in this building, you know you can see the foundation. There is one. Don't worry. All right? You can't see the foundation. You can only see what has been built upon it. And that's what we're supposed to be displaying. That's what we're going to show them. Some might recall when we went through James how we showed it that we would encourage others to the faith by our works. That's the point. We're supposed to encourage them. And listen to this. And this is from James 2. And I'm going to close here real quickly here. So it says, James chapter 1, verse 19 through 25. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into that perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. See, James challenges us, before he ever mentions works, he challenges us what? To live the Christian life. Live like you've been saved. Live like a foreigner to this land. That they may see the testimony of our lives and come to know the Savior. That's it. What of you, or why, I would question, this is the question I'd have for us, why are you letting the things that will destroy that magnificent temple the Lord is building, which is you? Now, verse 19 of our text, and turn back there, we'll close with this. All right? You have the joy of your salvation. You have your salvation. You have your foundation. Let it get built upon. Right? And in doing so, here's the beautiful part about laying this foundation and having it built upon. It's in verse 19. Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. Matthew, and you guys know where you're going to get there. Matthew 6, 19 to 24 says, lay not up treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust do corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break in through to steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light is the body, the light of the body is the eye. And therefore, if thine eye be single, thy body be whole and full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in thee, be darkness, how great is that darkness? Now can no man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one or love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So why can't you do this? You can't love the things of this world. You can't love the yourself. You can't love all those things like that. You've got to love the Lord Jesus Christ and him only, and let him build upon that foundation, lay up for those treasures in heaven. This is the point. You cannot serve two people. And this is where I want to close out for you this morning. And we're talking about this laying up for yourself treasures in heaven. I think I shared this maybe a little bit last week, maybe a couple weeks ago. I can't remember now. Do you know what you get to see in this world that will be in heaven? Anybody know? You ever thought about that? What do we see in this life that we get to take to heaven? What can I purposely get? Danica got her hand up. Huh? Absolutely right, people. You want to know how to lay up your treasures in heaven? Live the Christian life that by some might be saved so that you have treasure in heaven. Does that make sense? It's not about the money I give or the clothes I wear or whatever you want to say. It's not those things, guys. It's about the people, and that's why we want to lay that foundation, let God build upon it, so that why some may come in and ask us, what's with you? And we could tell them about Jesus Christ, and Lord willing, they come to know him as their Savior, and they now have that salvation as well, and we get to see them in heaven. See, of everything you've ever seen in your lifetime, there's only one thing that gets to go to heaven. People. You don't get to take the cars. Yeah, I know there's going to be horses there. I don't know if it's going to be the horse you saw. Okay? Unless you've seen a perfectly white one, then maybe. Okay? But no, but the point of this, guys, is what we have in this life, where our foundation is really laid out, and what treasures we can really store up are only souls. People. So why are we so worried about all the little issues with people? Why are we so worried about all the things that don't matter? What, I mean, let me just be, okay, I'm gonna pick a hot topic real quick for you guys because, you know, why not, okay? How am I ever going to help a sinner, whatever they are, all right, whatever you consider sin? How am I ever going to get them to know my Savior by berating them for their sin? Why don't I just love him like he did? Doesn't mean I have to go, oh, your sin's perfectly okay. I'm okay with your sin. I'm not okay with any sin, not even my own. There's some sins that we're all a little bit more okay with, right? White lies, not a big deal. Guess what white lies buy you if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ? White lies buy you hell. If you don't know Jesus Christ, they send you to hell just as much as adultery does, fornication, homosexuality, drunkenness, whatever you want to talk about. See, the little ones that we don't think are a big deal, that's what they get you to. So why would I sit there and go, oh, you know what your problem is? If you just need to do this. No, here's your problem. Jesus Christ loves you enough to die for you. When they ask you, tell them. But while they don't ask, you love them so they know that you're not of this world. Because let's be honest, this world doesn't love each other. If there's one thing the last several weeks of this nation's history in particular has shown us, it's a lack of love for people. So let's you and I go out there and be that light. Let's go out there and take that foundation and let the Lord build the temple up so that by the grace of God, some may have that joy as well. So this Thanksgiving, be thankful. Be thankful for where our text started today. 1 Timothy 6:15-16. Be thankful for the only pontiff, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who only hath immortality, dwelling in light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. Be thankful for him, because he came and he bought you. And by the grace of God, he may buy those around you.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com, or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.